into the sermon. So if you have children of school, no, afterwards we're going to do that. But is there childcare? Five and below, which is also a store. If they're five and below, you go up the stairs to our nursery area on the first floor, if you're so inclined. And so I'll let the nursery workers who are probably already there go do that and then take your kids. All right, I'm going to switch over to my other mic. Did I miss something?
No?
Oh, okay. Here's Johnny. I guess that was a different movie. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Ish?
Yes.
All right. I apologize in advance to anyone who's watching this on Facebook or later because I'm going to be moving around and I can't guarantee that I'm going to be in the shot. Which reminds me, July 4th, right? We're going to be having an outdoor service, woohoo! Which also presents us with a bit of a conundrum because we had said that we were going to stop Facebook Live and just go with the camera starting July 4th, but we can't really carry that outside, so we will have one more week of Facebook Live. All right, you guys are already here, so you're not that enthusiastic. So like I said earlier, my name's John. Hi.
Hi, John.
Hi. My daughters just flew in this morning, and boy, are their arms tired. Okay, it's a dad joke. Their flight got canceled from Southwest, and so we spent all day yesterday pulling my hair out, trying to get a flight for them, which they flew overnight, and they made it this morning with most of the luggage. Right, Tim? That's a good thing when you get most of your luggage. All right. So I will do my best to kind of look awake because we were texting back and forth at like, okay, when we say we, I was snoring. Angel was texting back and forth with them at like 2 and 4 in the morning. But anywho. So we are in Mark 11, and I want to start out by praying. Lord, please open our ears, including my own, and our eyes to what you would say to us today as a body and individually, not just to hear what you have to say to us through the Holy Spirit, but to act on what you have to say to us through the Holy Spirit as a body. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm gonna turn things around a little bit today. First, I'm gonna start by reading the end of the passage that we're doing, which is Mark 11, 1 through 25. Yes, 1 through 25. And I'm also, as a byproduct of maybe late night or whatever, we're gonna have Circle Church afterwards, and we normally send out questions to the leaders to start conversations with. We're gonna turn this on its head. And I want you guys to have questions in your Circle Church. Did you get that? If you have a pen or pencil, get it out. I'm not quite sure what some of the teens have in their mouths, but I don't think that's a pen or pencil. Straw, okay, we're good. If you don't have that, maybe just make some mental notes as we're going along because I'm going to be asking some questions because thankfully I don't have all the answers. I don't. So, all right, we're going to start in Mark 14. We're going to read 22 through 25 to start out with. What's that? Mark 11, sorry. 14 was the communion verse. All right. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea. First of all, I want to know who's actually said that. And does not have doubt in their heart, but believes that is what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Okay? Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now I'm not going to be preaching on prosperity gospel, That's quoted a lot for that. I'm not doing that. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Going back to 22. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. How many of you guys have read that passage and went, boy, I feel small when I ask for something? How many of you guys have read that passage maybe in a context of, well, maybe I'm not asking for enough? Yeah? Okay. How many of you guys have read that passage and just flat out didn't believe it? Now, some days, maybe. Yeah? Okay. So, we've been going through the book of Mark, and we already know that Mark is a very purposeful writer. I think of the book of John as written maybe by a hippie. He's just kind of going with things, and there's some mysteries in there. You may disagree with me. That's just how I feel about when I read the book of John, or the Gospel of John. When I read the book of Mark, he definitely has a purpose in the structure of every single passage he's written. And I'm not here to tell you that I know exactly what it is, but I studied some English in college. I speak it all right. I was briefly a poetry journal editor. Okay, all right. So I want you to look at the structure here, as I'm gonna, and then I'm going to read it, is we have a story. And then we have a reaction. And then he talks about fig trees. And then we have a story. We have a reaction. And then he talks about fig trees. And then he gives us this, starting verse 22. Story, reaction, fig tree. Story, reaction, fig tree, conclusion. I think Mark has tied these together. It's a reasonable assumption. So let's read the first story. Chapter 11, starting in 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, I'd love to know which two disciples. Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. How many of you guys would actually do that? Lexi, would you be able to do that? No. Anybody else? There's some things in here. They went and found the colt outside of the street, tied at a doorway, and as they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" At that point, I think I'd run away. Just being honest. They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. So far, so good. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Now, I want to make a distinction. Some threw branches, some threw coats. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And I'm just going to let you guys guess, which psalm is that? So, 118. Go figure. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The overarching theme that I see here is about time. He gets into the temple and it's not time yet. He looks around and goes, okay, and he leaves. But wait, there's a fig tree. And I was really hoping to try and avoid the fig tree, but Mark brings it here. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Why in the world is Jesus talking to a fig tree? Now, I looked this up, and here's the danger of looking specifics up. I looked up Jerusalem fig. I wasn't quite sure what kind of a fig tree it was, and I made sure that I didn't look up American figs. When is the season for figs? It's in early fall. Now, in Jerusalem, that may not matter. But here in Ohio, we have four seasons. I'm like, okay. So whatever time it is here that they're talking about, it's not the season for the figs. But what does Jesus do? What's that? Why does he curse the tree? What does he want? He wants some fruit. He wants some figs. And when Jesus comes up to you and demands some fruit, what should you have? You better have some fruit, because he curses it. And we're going to see what happens to that fig tree. But what I want you to see is, Mark is setting up a bigger lesson here. Jesus tells them, his disciples, who he's discipled for years, you're going to go do this, and you're going to see this if you do it, and then you're going to come back. And what do the disciples do? They do it. And what do they see? They see what God has done. And then they triumphantly enter into Jerusalem. And this may be a bit of a stretch, but hey, when you write an English paper when you're in school, sometimes you got to stretch things a little bit. But I don't think it's too much of a stretch. He saw that the fig tree was nothing but branches. And what do some people give him when he comes into Jerusalem? Branches. What did some of the other people give him? Their cloaks. Now, perhaps some of them were too poor. They didn't have a coat. Perhaps it was just tradition, so they laid the leaves. But I think Mark is making a distinction here. Some people give branches, and some people give more, their coats. Because what are they going to do with their coats afterwards? What's going to happen if you throw it on the ground? You're going to take it home and wash it, because they don't have cars that just have exhaust. What kind of exhaust do horses have, or donkeys? You're going to clean that exhaust off your coat. You may even have to wear it home with that exhaust on there. So then, this is kind of the key passage, and I think there's also two types of people saying Hosanna, because what does Hosanna mean? Save us. When we sing it in a song, what are we doing? We're praising. But the meaning is deliver us, save us. Now, do you think everybody who said that, do you think some of them were just praising, getting on the bandwagon? Do you think some of them were actually a little bit deeper than that? Maybe the ones who threw their cloaks on there, we don't know. They were saying, save us, deliver us. Do you think any of them had any idea about what was really going to happen? No, I don't think so. We want to get rid of the Romans. We want to get rid of the taxes. We want to get rid of the XYZ. I want to be the one that you saw as you're coming down in your donkey, laying the branches down or the cloak down. And so then, when you come into your kingdom, what are you going to do? You're going to give me a better cloak. You're going to give me my own fig tree to put the branches down. But Jesus comes up to the fig tree, and he makes a very pointed example. It doesn't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter what time you think it is. He wants to see the fruit. And I know this year, we've been talking about growing up in Christ. And the year before that, we talked about getting our roots down in Christ. Well, we're going to see what happens to this fig tree, who had roots and branches, here in a minute. So, we have another story. On reaching Jerusalem, and these are parallel, so I want you to parallel these stories. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers." So there's your story. And what's the reaction? We have two reactions. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. Hey, if you don't want people talking about your fruits, how do you silence that voice? For they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. The rest of the crowd is amazed by his teaching. So again, you have a parallel. You have a story. You have a reaction. And now we have the fig tree. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from where? The roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, I love Peter. I call him Mr. Obvious. Yes, he's Mr. Reactionary. He's Mr. Obvious. So what does Peter say? Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. What's his reaction? Is he trying to say, look, I noticed. He's the kid in the classroom that's like, teacher, I remember. Or is he really just pointing out the obvious and he's amazed at it and he's reaffirming it, kind of like your little kids when you're little kids and you come home and you get dinner. For some reason, maybe because I was a boy with two brothers, I was always amazed that there was food still on the table. Wow, look at this food, I get to eat again. If you look at the fig tree and you look at its fruits, or lack thereof, are the roots any good for a fig tree if it doesn't bear fruit? Are the branches any good in a fig tree, I mean, if there's no fruit? So what happens? You might as well dry it up from the root, from the bottom up. What is Christ saying? When you guys get in your circle churches, I want you to talk about the fig tree. I want you guys, why is it dried up from the roots to the tip? Because isn't that unfair? It wasn't time for this fig tree to bear its fruit. It wasn't natural for the fig tree to bear this fruit. It was angry of Jesus to demand that. I think he judged that fig tree awfully harshly. But as most things with the Gospels, is he really talking about a fig tree? I mean, yes, physically, there's a fig tree. But do the disciples get it? Do you get it? What are you putting your roots down in for except to bear fruit? And to bear fruit for whom? To bear fruit for Christ. When he asks for it, not when you're ready. Not when it's good for you, not when it's pretty, when he asks for it. Otherwise, what good is it? That's my hospital asking for extra nurses. Sorry about that. So then, what fruits? I mean, you can talk about the disciples, when they went to get the colt, and we saw the fruits of that. You go in town, you see the various people offering their either the leaves or their coats. You see the reactions based on their fruit, because Jesus goes in and he's overturning the money changers and the tables, and we think, isn't that horrible that he did that to those working men and women? But then you think, what was the root of that fruit? We're not just talking about the fruit. We're talking about the root and where did the root come from? Well, we can see by the reactions, it comes from the people who were running the temple courts at that time. So again, what good are your roots? What good are your branches if you have no fruit? So then we read here the conclusion. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. I've tried this. I've been out here at the pond several times, late at night after a campfire and a really good worship session. And I remember this verse of faith, and I look at the hills and I just went, okay, we're going to do it, God. And then I realized there's a highway over there, so I turned this way. And then I realized there's a road over there, and I turned this way. And then I realized the Phillips' house is up there. So I'm really never sure which part to turn towards to tell to move. But I've had that in my heart, where I was like, all right, we're in the moment, we're doing it. Lord, I believe, let's move the mountain. Do the mountains look like they've moved in this valley? No, I didn't think so either. Where does the fruit come from? Does it come in the moment? Can that fig tree went, oh, Jesus is coming. Boop. 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 Here's some figs for you, Lord. No. And I think a lot of us, when we read this verse, we think, why can't I bear this fruit right now? Do you guys remember previously in Mark we talked about they tried to cast out the demon and they couldn't. And what did the Lord say? Prayer. This kind takes prayer and fasting. This kind takes time. And we all go, oh. It's the same thing I think here with the mountains. Now, do I believe that God could work through us a miracle and we say, move this mountain? Sure. Could God do that through an unbeliever even? Maybe it's God's prerogative. In the world of miracles, if there is such a thing, is that the exception? Or are the miracles of this world, as we perceive as miracles, are they really the accumulation of the growth of our roots down, our branches up, with the focus of what? Fruit. When he calls for it. And when he calls for it, will it happen? He says, yeah. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Too many pockets. So we have here a story, a reaction, and a fig tree. A story, a reaction, and a fig tree. And then a conclusion. What I want you guys to talk about in your circle churches, if you're going to circle church, I would encourage that. How do we look at the conclusion in light of the story, the reaction, and the fig tree? Do you have your questions? If you don't have questions, you must have fallen asleep. Because I worked over this passage and I went, Lord, where do you want this to go? And I said, well, I'm going to, notice I said, okay, I'm going to, and I started writing down some things. And then the Lord said, nope. You're going to work 70 hours at work, and then your daughters are going to have their flight canceled, and then I'm going to put something else on your heart. And the Lord said, where's your reaction? Where's your fruit in this? I went, okay, Lord, here it is. So we're going to take 5 minutes, get some more coffee if you need it, get rid of some coffee if you need that. And I'm going to close in prayer, and then we have several circle churches. There's one that meets, one or two that meet down here. There's one that meets in the lobby. There's one that meets in the Sunday school room annex off that way. The teens meet all the way upstairs. If you have school-age children, you take them up to the first landing like you're going to the bathrooms, and then you'll see the Sunday school hallway to the left. Check them in. Check them out. If you leave your kids here, we'll put them to work. I'm kidding. No, just come pick up your kids. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that I ask that you would both help us realize the preparation of fruit with our roots and the true meaning of the branches and what we give to you. But Lord, what you want is the fruit to further your kingdom. What you want is us to reach our full potential as fig trees, not just shade, but to give you the fruit of our roots in you, our branches as we grow up, to further your kingdom to the fullest possible way, Lord. May you stimulate our conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.